And our text is Ezekiel 34. And pray that the Lord would add his blessing to this reading. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, yes. My flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them.
Let's have a word of prayer as we get started this morning. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we come to you to hear from you. I pray that any words that come from myself would be blotted out by the Spirit of God, and only the words of the living God would be heard today. We pray for power in the word. We pray for blessing on Jan and Siu and their family. We pray for a blessing that for those that are here today to watch the induction of a new pastor. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not an unusual story. Two teens, Carolyn and now Alex, had been immoral, and now Carolyn was pregnant. Carolyn was a Christian, and worse than that, her parents were elders. Her father was an elder in the church. Some of the church wanted to emphasize forgiveness to this couple because there was repentance there. Some of the church wanted to emphasize forgiveness, but others thought that some real firmness was needed as an example to other young people in the church. They were demanding that Carolyn stand in front of the congregation and confess, so there was a division occurring in the church. The pastor was struggling with the conflict, so he rang Ken Sandy, who leads a peacemaking ministry, and asked his advice. Ken got the pastor to pick up his Bible and read Isaiah 40 and verse 11. He will lead his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. He asked that pastor, if Carolyn was in her quiet time and she was reading that verse of scripture, would she say, that is exactly how my pastor is to me right now? There was a long pause, and finally the pastor answered, I don't think so. That was a pivotal moment for him. It took prayer and discussion with his wife, but that pastor went and confessed to Carolyn that he'd been treating her far too roughly. She burst into tears. She knew she had done wrong. She knew that she had made a mess of things, and she was looking for someone to gently guide her through the days ahead. Hearing that story for the first time was a pivotal moment for me too. Too many times I would have had to say as a pastor, no, I wasn't being that to the person I was counseling or seeking to help. I wasn't being like the Lord handles his people. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young. By the way, there's much more to that story. It wasn't just the pastor, but the people that had to be involved in redemptive restoration. We have to realize being a pastor is tough, only possible with complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. And that shouldn't surprise us, because being a Christian is tough, only possible by complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. What we need is word-saturated, spirit-saturated pastor and people. So there is a charge that needs to be made today, a task for the pastor and a task for the people of Central Mountains Baptist Church that needs to be put before all of us. Clear goals need to be stated as to respective roles in the local church. The charges made today are not arbitrary. They're not of human origin, not from man. They come from the Spirit of God in the Word of God today. And they're all printed out for you so you can read them in their context later on. And we'll indeed need to be Spirit-filled, Word-filled Christians to live out these charges. So the first charge, I'm trying to spot Jan in the congregation so my eyes over there, okay. First charge is to Jan Frederick Digno III, being inducted into the pastoral role of Central Mountains Baptist Church. Jan, at a special business meeting of this church, we called you to come as pastor. And as you considered that call, you understood that call to be from the Lord himself. And you responded positively to the call, and you have done well to come. Thank you, brother. Now, in that process, even before the special business meeting, we examined your qualifications according to the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, starts with the words, a bishop. I want you to understand a bishop in the scripture is exactly the same as a pastor and an elder. So a bishop, pastor, elder must be blameless. That is, there must be no obvious sin in their lives. He must be the husband of one wife, which means that literally he is a one-woman man. That his eyes should not be wandering. He should be temperate, that is self-controlled. He should be sober-minded, that is sensible. He should be of good behavior, a good man. And he should be hospitable, generous with his home, welcoming to strangers, a lover of strangers. And he should be able to teach. More on that in a minute. Verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 goes on to say, not given to wine and not violent. Now, if he is blameless man, he's not going to be given to wine and he's not going to be blameless. He's not going to be violent either. Surely those go without saying, not given to wine, not violent. But they do need to be said. There are some pastors that have fallen in this area. Verse 3 goes on, not greedy for money. That does mean contentment, Jan and CU, with what the church is able to provide. Verse 3, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. And it goes on to verse 4 to say, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? A man with rebellious children is disqualified from pastoral leadership. Verse 6, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Now, if he's a blameless man, he's going to have a good reputation with those outside. And Jan is certainly not a novice, having been in pastoral ministry for something like 13 years, if I remember correctly. In Titus, Paul so adds these qualifications, Titus 1 and verse 7. A steward of God, that means he's caretaker of everything spiritual, all the great blessings that God has given to us. He's not to be self-willed, that is not arrogant, not selfish or selfishly ambitious, trying to build some kind of empire for himself. Verse 8 adds, just and holy, which covers anything that has been left out. That means Christ-like. He's got to be Christ-like in every way. Paul amplifies apt to teach with verse 9, and verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he'd been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Of those qualifications, I asked Dan, is there any reason that you would be disqualified from pastoral ministry? He didn't know of any and added, I quote, I also accept the biblical standard that if I, God forbid, will be disqualified from ministry, I need to step down from the pastoral office. So, we summarise by saying Jan Digno is qualified as a pastor of CNBC, and we wouldn't have even called him if we thought otherwise. That is done and dusted. But a bigger question today is, what will be his role? Well, it will be a shepherding role. Jan will have different skills and gifts to me, and many of you are glad about that. Do not expect him to be like me, God forbid. But he is to be, and every pastor is to be, apt to teach, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Jan has musical abilities that I never had, and overall is an improvement on the old model, I'm glad to say, Jan. I don't know any weaknesses yet. They're sure to be. He is human. And if so, the church are to fill those gaps, just as the church filled the gaps because of my lack of musical talent. Anyway, the non-negotiable role as a shepherd is as a shepherd. So what does this shepherding role look like? Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. There is a feeding role to shepherds. And Psalm 23 also says of feeding, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. In other words, the Lord provides for his sheep. And when the Lord Jesus reinstated Peter, remember how Peter denied his Lord three times? When the Lord reinstated Peter, Jesus did it with a threefold command regarding feeding the flock. We read in John 21 and verse 15, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these other men? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And here's the command. He said, feed my lambs. That's number one command, feed my lambs. Lambs refers to those who are newborn in Christ. They're a brand new Christian. In 1 John, he calls them little children. Feed them. They are going to need the milk of the word. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow by that thereby. If you're a new Christian, you are to desire the word of God, just as a baby desires milk. And Jan, you are to provide that for those who are new to the faith. Jesus continued in John 21 and verse 16, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. That word tend could also be translated shepherd my sheep. So what does tending and shepherding involve? Well, that's what we're investigating this morning, but it certainly includes feeding. Sheep are more mature than the lambs, but they also need to be provided for. They also need feeding. John 21 and verse 17, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grave because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Command number three is feed my sheep. A shepherd is not shepherding unless he feeds the lambs and feeds the sheep. That's very clear. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 goes on to say, he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. So the lambs are going to have a very special attention and care from their shepherd. The last part of Isaiah 40:11 says, and gently lead those who are with young. The mothers will be led gently. They will be led. The pastor needs to know the way ahead spiritually. He might know whether we need to buy a block of land or buy a new church at a particular time. He'd seek the Lord like everyone else on that. But he knows the way ahead spiritually. You can't be shepherding without special attention and care to the newly saved, the lambs. And when the people in the congregation lead others to Christ, that's like the mothers of lambs. And they need to be led gently as they disciple that new lamb in Christ. Shepherds intending the sheep should be gentle and caring. You'll need to do a lot of listening, Jan, so that you can understand the sheep, understand what their needs are, and you can be teaching appropriately and leading appropriately. A shepherd is not shepherding unless he feeds the lambs and the sheep, unless he cares and treats for the flock gently. Let's continue with Ezekiel, that passage that David read out to us so well a little bit earlier. Ezekiel, it's on your sheets too. Ezekiel 34 and verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. The leaders of Israel were called shepherds, but they were not shepherding. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And the answer is, of course. You eat the fat, clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. They were fleecing the flock. They were not feeding the flock. A shepherd will rely on the flock, of course, for his own provision, but he has to feed the flock spiritually first. Paul uses a different analogy in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 9. You shall not muzzle the ox, an ox, while it treads out the grain. If we have sown spiritual things for you, it is a great thing if we reap your material things. So, in summary, there is a feeding aspect to shepherding. Now in Ezekiel 34 and verse 4 following, we find out what tending or shepherding involves. We find out what it involves because the shepherds of Israel failed in their shepherding role. And here's the indictment from the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the beasts of the field where they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. So from those verses, shepherding the flock, tending the flock involves, number one, strengthening and upholding the weak, because the indictment was they did not uphold, they did not strengthen the weak. The weak you have not strengthened. Paul also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, and this is a function for pastors too, comfort the faint-hearted, those who are timid, uphold the weak. There's the same phrase as we see in Ezekiel, and be patient with all. The shepherd is to help those who are struggling in their Christian lives. Help the weak and be patient with all. The second function of the shepherd from those verses is healing the sick, because the indictment was, you have not healed those who were sick. Sick can also be translated diseased or wounded and refers to those who have sin-sick souls. The shepherd leads the sin-sick to heal by confession of those sins. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. Confess your sins and pray for one another that you may be healed. That you may be healed. So Jan is to lead the sin-sick in finding healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know the Lord today, you need his healing, dear friend. You need, are you in him? And if you're not sure what I mean by in him, are you becoming more like Christ each day? Because if he's in you, that's what will be happening in your life. If you're not in him, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to turn from sin, turn to Christ, believe he died in your place, and put your trust in him. Anyway, the third area that shepherding involves is binding the broken. For the indictment was, nor bound up the broken. Brokenness is a good thing in a person, a Christian person, or a pastor. But not the kind of brokenness that leads to immobility in ministry, that kind of worthlessness where I don't feel like I can do anything. In the psalm where David said, Psalm 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. It's a beautiful thing before God to have a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. But in that psalm where David said that, he also prayed in verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." The shepherd helps the broken find the joy of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The kind of brokenness that maintains joy is what is needed, that kind of brokenness. A break should not be left without a splint and binding of the Holy Spirit. The sick should not be left in sin and disease. And the weak need help to keep going. Now, Nolly's dad, my father-in-law, was a farmer. And as a farmer, he had 1,000 head of sheep. He was a good shepherd. As I assisted him, I got to watch his gentle, patient handling of his sheep. He would drive around his sheep each day just to see if there were any issues. He spent the year maintaining the pastures, making sure there are no weeds, fertilizing the ground so that there would be a good quality food for the sheep. He checked the water, windmills, water troughs every couple of days and during the hottest part of the year every day. I've seen sheep cast. Do you know what a cast sheep is? He's down on the ground. He can't get up. And sometimes just picking that sheep up and putting him on his four legs is all that is needed. Other times the sheep had to be lifted into the back of the Suzuki ute, which is what Dad had, and taken home for further care. I've seen blown sheep. Do you know what blown is? It's where the fly has landed and laid its eggs, and maggots are now infesting the wool and the flesh of the sheep. And, you know, the rams would fight and the horns would bleed, and I've seen maggots in the skull of the sheep. And I've seen Dad take that sheep, carefully clip the wool away, the maggots removed, and bactericidal medicine poured into the wound. I've seen baby lambs whose mother has died, taken into Dad's arms and carried and taken home. 1,000 head of sheep, but they would wake up during the night to feed that one lamb. That's a shepherd. A fourth area of care from the shepherd is recovering those who'd driven away. The indictment was, "Nor brought back that which was driven away." My mate Neil was telling me about his church. There'd been a pastor, and the church had built up to 200, a good-sized church. Another pastor followed him, and the church dwindled down to 30, and then a third pastor was called. And now the church is back up to 150. That third pastor has recovered those who were driven away. That's a tough task, Jan. And maybe some have been driven away through things that I have done, things that I have said. May it not be so, but maybe there are. And a shepherd, a good shepherd, will recover those. A fifth area of care as a shepherd is seeking the lost. Nor sought. The indictment was, "Nor sought what was lost." And we've got to do that today. We've got to say, dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, please come to him. We'd love to explain how you can do that today. Dear Jan, I've knocked every door from Linden right through to Bullaburra twice, and the area of Hazelbrook and Lawson many times. You must seek the lost, and I will pray the Lord shows you and the church family better ways to do it, because I can't say that that door knocking was all that successful in terms of seeing people come into the church. May God be your help. Verse 4 of Ezekiel 34 says, in indictment, "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." And one thing you should not do, Jan, number 6, is to use force or hurtful words. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 5. "The elders, pastors, shepherds, bishops who are among you, I exhort, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Overseers look over. They like dad driving around the sheep, checking how things are going. Not by compulsion, but willingly. This is something that you love to do. He who desires the office of a bishop desires a good work, Paul says. Willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. You'd be glad to serve without pay, as long as your needs were looked after. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Be an example of a loving Christian, please, Jan. Willingly serve. The money is just to help. And please, don't lord it over the sheep. Watch over the sheep. Verse 5 of Ezekiel 34, so they were scattered. The shepherds were failing. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field where they are scattered. Where there's no shepherd, false teachers come in and take the sheep away. They devour them. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. There was times of difficulty. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth. And no one was seeking or searching for them. The second thing you should not do, is allow the sheep to wander through neglect. Ephesians chapter 4 says of staying together in unity. It says, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness, gentleness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. All those phrases, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, are aspects of love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Love will keep us together. And Jan, as you lead the flock, you're to encourage us to love each other so we stay together, keeping the flock of the Lord together as much as depends on you. You can't control people, but you're encouraging people to love each other. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There is a passion, a burden in the heart of a shepherd for the sheep. Take Paul as an example. He told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 18, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, how I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. For I have not shunned to declare you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, pastor, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Therefore, watch and remember for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day with tears. A good shepherd in caring for the sheep will care and be gentle. He'll lead the sheep and he will feed the sheep. He will provide and he will protect. On protecting, Satan is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And the counterfeits, the wolves in sheep's clothing, pictured there for you, the wolves in sheep's clothing against you need to warn against such false teachers to protect the flock. Carry the burdens of the sheep and pray with tears for them, Jan. It's the work of a shepherd. Jan, like the Lord Jesus and Paul, you will need to give your life for the sheep, but without neglecting your family, because if you lose your family, you've lost all. Your task is humanly impossible, Jan. Does that encourage you? Your task is humanly impossible. You need to be constantly word-filled and spirit-filled. May the Lord of hosts be with you, dear brother. The second charge is to the people of Central Mountains Baptist Church, of whom I am now one, as I pass on the baton to Jan. Dear friends, consider a 100-metre relay race. A 100-metre medley relay race. So a medley, you know, is a swimming race. The order of the medley is backstroke, breaststroke, butterfly, freestyle. Each 100 metres is a different style. So in a medley relay, you have your best swimmer swimming each of the four legs of the race. The swimmers swim in different styles, but all swim the distance. The swimmers swim in different styles, but all with a diligence and a competence. There is a commitment to the team and to the task. This is a parable for pastoral ministry. Jan will have his own style, and it should not be compared to any other style, because it will be done with diligence and competence and commitment. Jan couldn't start his leg of the race until I finished mine. That has now happened. And we pray for you, Jan, and see you as you now swim in your own style. Today we officially pass on the baton to Jan in the relay race of ministry. But like the four Aussie women who won the 100 metre medley relay at the Olympics last year now, Jan, you can't do it alone. The four who swam represented many dozens of family, friends, coaches and supporters who all contributed to the success of that day. They swam alone, but they did not do it alone. When Jan preaches, he will stand alone. When he counsels, he may be counseling alone. When he does ministry of different kinds, it may be alone, but he cannot do it alone either. It will take all of us to enable him to fulfill his function in the body. Just as we need him to fulfill his function, he needs us to be fulfilling our functions in the body to enable him to do his ministry. Now, I've given Jan a bunch of charges that I couldn't keep perfectly either. Don't expect too much of him. First of all, pastors and their families are not superheroes, untouched by the challenges of normal people. In the end, the shepherds are sheep also, under the great shepherd of the sheep. Jan and Siu will have their stresses, valley experiences, hurts, maybe sleepless nights and burdens like the rest of us. I have charged Jan to care for us, but I equally charge all of us. If you belong to Central Mountains Baptist Church, attending, you're a member of the church, I charge you to take care of Jan and Siu. We need to notice needs and care. So let's look at some scriptures that teach us what our role is to be to them. Let's start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12 on the back of your sheets there. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. We have charged Jan to work hard as a shepherd, to lead in righteousness and instruct in God's word. Our response is to recognize when he does this. That will mean noticing all that Jan does, and then noticing and appreciating it. An email, a card, a hug from a brother or sister, appreciating and giving a level of respect and honour in turn. How much respect and honour? Verse 13 there says, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Appreciate, notice, respect highly in love. Okay. And Hebrews 13 and 17 adds this, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Jan will give account of his ministry in this church. The scripture says so. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Sadly, our modern culture has lost a lot of respect for those in authority, and just the greatest fools in Australia reckon they know how to govern our country better than any premier or prime minister. And because of media reports, abuse in churches, pastors have often a negative credibility in our society. Others have sinned, but good men are tarred with the same brush. Respect has also been lost for police and teachers and parents, for anyone in authority. Christians are to oppose this trend in our society. Not only are pastors to be respected, They are, hold your breath, to be obeyed. We are to submit to our pastor's leadership. That does not mean that we can't talk to him. It doesn't mean that we can't make appeal. We can't have a discussion. But it does mean that there is a level of authority so that if we turn from his leadership, we may well be turning from God's leadership in our lives. You do not want Jan taking a bad report about you to the Lord Jesus. Therefore, we the sheep need a humble, teachable attitude. Paul wrote to Timothy about Timothy's congregation, saying in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, and we looked at this verse recently, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Someone said that we should be looking for fat sheep, F-A-T, sheep, faithful, able, teachable, fat sheep. Those who are most teachable will be the most able to teach. Proverbs 9 and verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. A humble, teachable spirit to our pastor, please. We need to be praying for Jan and see you. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So for all in leadership, for kings, verse 2, and all who are in authority, we are to pray. We need to be praying for Jan and his family. And let me emphasize faithfulness again. Faithfulness should not be rare at Central Mountains Baptist Church, but Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? If you say yes to a ministry or a task, be faithful. If you don't have a ministry in this local church, you're attending here, you're regular here. If you don't have a ministry in this local church, you are being unfaithful to the Lord Jesus. Jan will be forced to bring a poor report regarding you before the Lord. You must be part of the body ministry of this local church. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read Romans chapter 12. Read the 35 one another commands in the scripture. If you do not have a ministry in this local church, you are failing as a Christian. Please wake up. You're an arm that doesn't move. You're an eye that does not see. You're a heart that does not beat. Stop it. Admit your sin and start functioning in the body. We need to look after Jan and his family financially. Galatians 6 and verse 6 says, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That's referring to finances, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So write notes of thanks to Jan or anyone who does service in the Lord well. Show hospitality to Jan and his family. Notice when they need a break. Give them an extra gift at Christmas because they will serve well during the year. Jan is a very encouraging person. Encourage him as he encourages you. Do we sheep get it? We have as much responsibility to Jan as Jan has to us. Amen? Well, think about Carolyn and Alex. The folk of that church did get involved. They'd had a good foundation because they'd been taught peacemaking over a number of years. Some got involved with reconciling Carolyn and her parents because there was much hurt there. The father was an elder in the church. One man came alongside Alex, who began attending the church, and after a few months led him to Christ. It had been a very public sin that affected the whole church. Maybe if Carolyn hadn't been pregnant, it could have been handled a different way, but it was a very public sin. So both Alex and Carolyn agreed to stand before the congregation and confess the sin. They confessed their thankfulness for God's grace and forgiveness in their lives. They acknowledged how it had hurt parents and hurt people in the congregation. They spoke to the young people and they said, this is not the way to have a baby. And they listed all the ramifications that occurred in their lives because they had done things the wrong way around. And now it was time for the whole body of Christ to respond. It began with the pastor admitting he had handled Carolyn roughly and continued through the wise counsel of the church that led to the repentance, the confession of Carolyn and Alex. And then it ended with forgiveness by the body of Christ that involved everyone. That's body ministry. It's real and it's life-changing. Jen will be a good pastor of CNBC. I'm so grateful. But we must work with him. Amen. Amen. Well, I normally end a message with prayer, but we're going to have a few of us pray right now. This is the induction part of the service. We're going to be back here on the stage a little bit. I'm going to ask Jen and CU to come up. I'm going to ask the deacons to join me. And we're going to lay our hands on them. And we're going to pray over them. So, men, if you would come forward, please. We're going to each of us pray. Jono, if you could take the mic and pass it on.
Lord, we come before you with thankfulness because you have brought to us a new pastor. We look long and hard and it was with joy we found someone like David, a man after your own heart, who wanted to serve you, wanted to care for the sheep. Wanted to leave his family, his way of life, his culture, and even give that up so he could be used of you. And so we're so thankful for them. Thankful for their sacrifice. Thank you for bringing them to us through all that. Challenges during COVID of getting passports and all the documentation together through all the quarantine and time spent alone and apart. And we pray, Lord, that you would give them great joy in serving you, great joy in ministering your word and reaching the community here. We pray, Lord, that you give them great strength for those challenges, for the times of discouragement, times where they feel they can't do it, and that you draw them to with your great and mighty arm and carry them through the tough tough times, that they may know your power and be able to, with joy, share that with all of us and encourage us to. And I walk with you. May you bless them, help their children to grow to know you and to love you and serve you as well. And may each day give them great blessings as they serve you together and joy in being part of your family. In your name we pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your provision to us. Lord, we are here today through your provision. Every second of our life is ordered by you. Nothing happens without your wanting it to happen. You are in control. And we thank you that you have ordained this meeting here today where we say thank you to you for your provision of this, our new pastor Jan and his wife Sue and their children Paige and Isla. We thank you for this family. We pray a special blessing on them. We pray, Lord, that we will have listened to all that has been said here today and will chew on it and understand what you've been telling us today. And Father, we just pray for the future. We know it's in your hands, and we know that we have here a family and a pastor who knows that also and is depending on you. Help us as a congregation and as a church to depend on you for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Loving Father, it's with joy and with a sense of expectation that we give thanks to you today for our dear brother and sister Jan and Sue. As we look back over the past, we can see your hand at work leading and directing them. And now they're with us, and we look forward to what you're going to do through them as we work together in the ministry of your church. We ask your blessing on them for their faithful obedience to your calling and their strong desire to further the gospel. We ask too that you would encourage their hearts, give them the strength, wisdom and endurance that they'll need and that they will find joy in serving here. We would also ask a blessing on you as she supports Jan in their work together, that they both have great joy in raising their little ones and know the love of our Saviour. So it is with delight we commend them to you for the task set before them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come today and lay hands on Jan and Siu to pass on the baton of ministry. May you cause your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them and give them your peace. May they have the joy of seeing many come to Christ. May your the power of your Spirit be flowing through Jan and Siu as channels only, blessed Master, for thy love and care. So we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the ministry that lays ahead. We pray for their family. We pray for every blessing upon their lives. And we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would help them to be the kind of shepherds that we've outlined in the scriptures today. We pray that you would help Jan to seek the lost. Pray him to be an example to the flock. Pray for him and see you, dear Heavenly Father, to heal those that are sick, to bind up those who are wounded, to, dear Heavenly Father, continue a work of upholding the weak. And pray, dear Heavenly Father, you would bless their ministry in every way. We ask, dear Father, that you would be with them, which is the greatest promise of all. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll ask Jan to give a response to the charges today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Wayne and Jono, Mike. Who else prayed behind me a while ago? Rob, yes, Rob. Thank you so much for your prayers. It's my privilege to stand before you and to be inducted as the new pastor of Central Mountains Baptist Church. This has really come as a surprise to me and my family to be here in Australia, in Central Mountains. I have never heard of a place like this before. But we know that this was what Wayne said, this was really God's leading. If God calls you to be a minister, don't stoop to becoming a king. This is one of those quotes you'd never forget once you hear it. Not just because it was said by Charles Spurgeon, but because it really strikes a chord in my heart as one who is called by God into the full-time ministry. Now, just to be clear, I did not try to become a king. But I did try to wrestle with God with all my might to escape the pastoral call. When I was young, I had a lot of dreams and aspirations, and that didn't include to be in the ministry. But God had his way to soften my stubborn heart. And today, I cannot imagine myself being a king or something else. God had been good to continue to use me and my family, and it's all by his grace. At the very core of the calling of God to the pastoral ministry is the reality that it is a deep privilege, a serious endeavor, and a holy trust. Peter's words still make me tremble when I read them. He said, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." As God had given me this honor of serving him by being your pastor, my dear brothers and sisters, I proclaim once again my faith in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By God's grace, I will faithfully preach and teach and exemplify his inspired, powerful, and enduring word. I reaffirm my commitment to the biblical doctrines on which our church firmly stands. Like Paul, I enjoin you to follow me as I follow Christ. And we will together first exalt God. We will pursue the praise of Christ's glory, showing our love to him by our obedience to his word. Second, we will edify the body of Christ, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, cause the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, so that Christ might present Central Mountains Baptist Church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Third, we will evangelize the lost from our Jerusalem to our Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In all of these, my brothers and sisters, we will not forget that we are commissioned to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ together. It is my sincere plea to you all on the occasion of this induction that you'd continue to uphold me, Sue, Paige, and Isla in prayer. We need that so much. And thank you, Wayne, for that reminder to our church. Of course, with a new pastor coming in, a lot of adjustments will happen. And that has happened already this past week that I'm here. But thank you so much for being patient and forgiving towards me these past few weeks. With God's help, I only hope in Christ to be a more dedicated steward. I would love to get to know everyone in a more intimate way. So expect an email. Wayne did say that you need to respond to my email. So I'd love to get to know you, your family, your spiritual journey, how you came to CMBC, what are your desires spiritually, and how we can be partners in the ministry together. It will be a joy to maybe have a cup of tea with you or lunch. Just let me know, and I'm open for anything. And I'd even love to hear about your desires for our church, for the ministry, maybe an idea for an outreach, or even just to hear how Christ had saved you. So that in that conversation, we will be encouraging, we will encourage each other. One prayer as I end, that I kept on uttering in my mind, just rehearsing in my mind these past days as I look forward to this day, were the words of the hymn, "O Jesus, I have promised." The first stanza says, "O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide." I praise the Lord for this opportunity to be with you. And it is just going to be, I know, a wonderful journey of faith, of joy, and of great challenges. But God did say that He will be with us. Thank you, Wayne, for the word. And God bless you all.